who are we thinking of with the start for this song?
Well, for me, that the whole reason I suggested that song was for Mr. Supposed to be, you know, one of the greatest of all time, but somehow decided he had Judas in his mind and thought it was the third down when it was actually the fourth down, and we're talking about Tom Brady here.
Well, he's Mr. Unflappable, I guess. Until this week, you just don't see, a veteran. Yeah, especially somebody who's arguably going to go down as the best quarterback that's the NFL has seen. And obviously we're talking about the NFL this week, but when I watched it and to see the look on his face when he was so befuddled that it's actually fourth down, he sold it to me. I thought he was I thought he was totally genuine and he made it a genuine mistake. But yeah, I've sort of heard different now that that maybe he kind of did know it was fourth down.
I think that's a game we need to touch on just to see even just a few things he did during that game. But we'll run through the scores. So this was week 5 of the NFL. That was the first game, so that was the Friday Australian times. Obviously, we're talking here, so that was the first Friday game. The Bears 4-1 beating the Buccaneers 20-19. The Carolina Panthers 23-16 still getting it done. The Raiders beating the Chiefs first loss 40-32.
Wow, that game was
insane.
That was unbelievable. That game that was crazy. That was one of the games on TV. I think that.
Yeah.
I can't remember if that was on ESPN or 7, mate, but that was game ESPN, was incredible.
Yeah, it was good. The Cardinals beat the Jets 30-10. I mean, who's not beating the Jets? The Steelers beat the Eagles 38-29 to stay unblemished. The Rams, don't know, they're a little bit of bogey. We'll talk about them later, but beating the Washington football team 30-10. The Ravens dismantling the Bengals 27-3. The Texans beating the Jags 30-14, getting their first win of the season. The Dolphins annihilating 49ers 43-17.
Who the hell saw that coming?
No one. The Browns are starting to get a little bit impressive, but they beat the Colts 32-23. Cowboys beating the Giants. So that's why the reason I talked during this whole thing.
I hear the excitement in your voice with a 37-34 victory over the New York Football Giants.
Until we start talking about the game, you're going to lose excitement because there's an unfortunate...
That's a heartbreaker.
The Seahawks beating the Vikings 27-26 to stay unblemished.
That's another amazing game.
Vikings should have had that.
Oh, my God.
Russell Wilson again. Saints beating the Chargers. You know, talking about that was an unbelievable game. I loved that game.
That was another crazy game.
You know, talking about a kid, you know, quarterbacks already. This kid, Justin Herbert, oh my God. I love him already. But yeah, the Saints won 30-27. And the last game was this one I didn't see coming. The Titans still staying unblemished because technically they're 4-0 at the moment, beating the Bills 43-16.
That was a blitz.
Oh, that game. Oh, man, there's so much to talk about in this, Fran. I mean, that game, it was a blitz, but that fan, did you see that fan from Derrick Henry to Josh Norman?
The fan that didn't count, but a fan nevertheless.
Holy Jesus.
That was just, that was a stiff arm for the ages. It went absolutely viral as well. Twitter went into meltdown. It was just ridiculous. ESPN, I was getting notifications everywhere up the wazoo about this stiff arm. And I watched bits and pieces of the highlights of that game. And like you said, you know, unfortunately it didn't count because the play got called back. But it was just like, oh my God.
Just
get out of my life.
The thing with that game is the Bills didn't play bad. It's just Tennessee played a lot better. Like, the Bills really didn't play too bad, really. You know, Stephon Diggs was good. Josh Allen was a good. He probably could have played better, I suppose.
Far behind. I think that was the problem. Wow. I think they got jumped early, and it was a case of them trying to play a little bit too much. That's, I mean, it's 7-all. Once they got out to a 21-10 and then 28-10 lead, This is the Titans. It was just – it just began to get a little bit too far away from Buffalo. And that's – I mean, they were essentially outscored 21-6 in the second half.
Yeah.
So yeah. When you have a bit of a poor run like that – and that's, I mean, Derrick Henry wasn't at his, beast mode greatest. Only 57 yards on 19 rushing attempts. So
still got a couple of touchdowns, but because no one's stopping him at the 10-yard line. That's just not going to happen.
Tannehill has just been super
Tannehill was awesome
this year. Like, he's been unbelievably efficient this year.
Yeah. Well, he got his other boy back,
I think
too.
I think he's got top five or top six passer rating this year. Like, it's crazy. Not a lot of it is just sort of, how they say dink and dunk type throws, but this game they just ground out to Buffalo, and the thing is too, Tennessee have come off how long did they just have off? 16 days, so they've had themselves a nice little rest.
Well, he got his boy back that I didn't think he was going to play. He was questionable up until the whole time, so I left him off the fantasy. Then AJ Brown getting 82 yards with a touchdown. Jonu Smith, just talking to, we haven't talked really about tight ends, but God, he's having a wow of a season.
We've talked about tight ends, we just haven't talked about Jonu Smith.
No, that's probably right. But I think he deserves a mention now. He's just having a wow of a season so far. I didn't think the Titans would be unblemished. I don't know. They did have that hype, obviously, up what happened last year, but clearly they've carried it over. Clearly.
Ah, that's right. And this was a game that sort of, and probably not a lot of people would have seen coming from Buffalo, just because they've been on such a roll as of late, and they come, they come into a bit of a whirlwind in Tennessee at the moment. As I said, super rested, a couple of interceptions by Josh Allen, basically both of them thrown to Malcolm Butler. So, Malcolm Butler had the eyes for what Josh Allen was doing, and when you've got to sort of come out and chase the game like they were, they couldn't get the run game going. Unfortunately, when you have to chase the game, you've got to go to the pass game, and it just didn't work out for Buffalo, and you have those games every now and then.
Yeah, that's right. I think we don't really talk about their defense as well, but the defense is fairly solid. The Tennessee Titans. I think is that
Tennessee,
Rashawn.
Tennessee is a good defensive team. Like you said, I don't think a lot of credit goes. Not a lot of people talk about Tennessee's defense.
No, that's right. Good win by the Titans. We may as well. I mean, I wanted to start at the top. But we may as well keep going backwards.
Backwards.
As in, we'll go to the next game. Going up, we'll talk of the Tuesday game. Sorry, the Saints and Titans. Saints and Chargers. Oh my God, it was. I don't know. Emmanuel Sanders was unbelievable. I mean, I'll probably just start there.
This is what they brought him in for. Not so much to cover Michael Thomas, but to take the pressure off Michael Thomas. Like, that's the point. Like, it just, you know what I mean? Like, he's got the nickname Can't Guard Mike for a reason. But, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just you have to give another guy. Like, you have to have another guy that you can throw to. And they don't have that sort of, big marauding tight end anymore that they can sort of go to a lot. Jared Cook. Is sort of the go-to tight end for Drew Brees at the moment. He only had two receptions, but one of them was like a 46-yard touchdown.
He's not having his greatest. Well, he's just not having a wow season like he has in the last couple of years.
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
That was the thing. Like, the Saints got so far behind to start this, and then all the criticism starts to come out of Drew Brees. Is he past it? The couple of gadget plays that they tried with my new nickname for Taysom Hill is Inspector Gadget.
I think a few of those
things didn't come off. There was a couple of that I thought I thought there might have been something a little bit funky with the field because there was a lot of slipovers.
Yeah.
You know, on change of direction. A couple of them by Taysom Hill. You see a couple of defensive backs slipping over on the turf. Well, you know, all the fake turf there in the Superdome, which is a bit funny. But look, you know, just to me, just a really grimy, gritty win by New Orleans to come back from 20 points to 3 down. And you know, it was the Sanders Breeze show
without Michael Thomas too, who was set out for a week without Michael Thomas.
And you know, all credit to Herbert, like this, you know, he threw for 4 touchdowns, but his passing game early was great and on point. The second half, yeah. I think they sort of not so much went into their shell a little bit. I think they were in lead protection mode, and to do that again, you know, to do that against the Saints, if you're going to be a little bit apprehensive, then you're asking for trouble.
And also, yeah, during that game, Keenan Allen went down. I didn't sort of return towards the end. So they had
He got hurt in the second quarter. He got me my touchdown, anytime touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Bet that I needed to get my multi, so I was rather happy with that. And then early in the second, he was gone. He was getting treatment. He was getting treatment at quarter time on a back injury and didn't end up coming back. So to say that sort of stunned them a little bit, but up steps Mike Williams, who has not had a lot of sightings at all this year. And boy, he had some big plays.
I mean, a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people remember, but Mike Williams was drafted seventh in the first round only a few years ago. So, he is a great player, but like, and he's a big,
He's one of those guys that's a deep threat. Like, yeah. He's not yet, yeah, and man, did he absolutely scorch Patrick Robinson on that 64-yard touchdown. He just blew him out of the water. And then after he was gone, all Patrick Robinson could do for the Saints was just turn around and put his hands in the air and go, I don't know what happened. It was insane. It's just like, how does he get that wide open? That's because he's 6'4".
Yeah.
So he's a taller wide receiver. He's 220 pounds or 225 pounds, but he's just got crazy athleticism. The Saints secondary they're just not in great form. They're being burnt all over the field.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you're right. But look,
Jalen Guyton had a 49 yard reception and he just got pulled down like 2 yards short or 1 yard short for a touchdown. Like they just cannot help but give up the big plays, the Saints.
Oh, they still grounded out the win. Like you said, they were paying behind. So for them to grind out a win without Michael Thomas is pretty good.
Yeah, and the other thing, yeah, the other thing too is, you know, Breeze, you know, we've sort of said it before that, you know, with guys like Prescott, you know, throwing 57, 58 times in 2 weeks. Yeah, Breeze had 47 attempts this week. So and like we just said before with the previous game, when you're playing from behind, you've got no other choice.
Yeah, you have to try.
You have to save as much time on that clock as humanly possible. So you have to go to the pass.
In saying that, you know, I wouldn't say bag him, but we've sort of said like Drew Brees has you know, he can't throw that deep ball anymore, but goddamn, he could still throw an accurate ball, like a pinpoint
ball. Yeah, he still throws an accurate ball inside tight windows. His interception was a little ordinary, a little bit overthrown, and that nearly got a pick six for that. That was obviously his poorest throw of the day. But anything that he targeted for Sanders and Kamara was money.
Yeah. The next game was wild too. The Seahawks shut like literally right at the end, coming back and winning over the Vikings, who should have won that game. They played a lot better.
Look, Minnesota, I think Minnesota might be a little bit unlucky to be one and four. At this point in time, but they absolutely had Seattle on the ropes.
Yeah.
Absolutely had them on the ropes.
Oh, but, you know, in saying that, I thought they sort of they started losing in that third quarter when I think it was Kirk Cousins, I think, fumbled twice in that game. You know, when you got some beast like Bobby Wagner coming at you, you just throw the ball the other way. Guy is so big.
There's not much you can do about that.
But they... You're right. They were unlucky. Kirk Cousins really didn't have a bad game. He did throw an interception, and he got two TDs. Russell didn't have his typical Russell Wilson-like game.
Until the fourth quarter.
Until the fourth quarter, correct. And even though they stuck away with the win. But there used to be all the praise was going to Tyler Lockett and that side. But DK Metcalf is... I'm assuming now he's one of the real deals because, you know, everyone raved about, he is. This is the guy that like can bench press like 500 pounds. He's not big, you know, he's 6'4", 229, which, okay, he's tall, but 229 and he can bench press Aaron Donald does about 400 pounds more than him. I was watching a YouTube thing. He goes, DK goes, yeah, I do about.
Donald be able to bench press like 1,000 pounds.
Well, what he said, like DK goes, because everyone knows, like, on his when they do those videos for the combines and all that, and they're bench pressing, and he was just blowing everybody out, DK Metcalf, and him and Aaron Donald sitting next to each other this interview, and DK goes, and I go, I'm about 500, and then Aaron Donald's just sitting there, and he goes, and they waited for him, and go, yeah, what are you bench? He goes, yeah, I think I'm up to about 1,000, and DK's eyes just lit up, like, there's no way.
He'd be out there, Aaron Donald would be able to do that one arm.
But yeah, no, you're right.
That's a bicep curl for Aaron Donald.
Oh my God. He arrived. He was there last year, but I mean, they have a really, really good team. Like Chris Carson didn't have his greatest game, but you know, Chris Carson running back, two great wide receivers and a defensive side with Russell Wilson. They are really going to be hard to beat. Really hard.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And it also shows as well with the limited amount of ball that Seattle had, like such a massive lopsided. It was essentially 2-1.
Yeah.
You know, for nearly 40 minutes time in possession for Minnesota, and Seattle had just a tick over 20 minutes. And they had the momentum shift in that second half because, Minnesota come out and just blasted them out in that first half. I can only assume that sort of Pete Carroll had going come in and Russell Wilson himself would have challenged everybody on that team. So, hey, you know, this is, you know, we're at home here. And granted, there's no fans and it was a little bit rainy as well. But the second half just shifted momentum. Yep. The no Dalvin Cook didn't really look like it stopped Minnesota because they just ran the ball right down Seattle's throat all night.
Alexander Mattison was, you know, he stood up. Yeah, he ended up getting get top.
And now Cook's
rushing.
Gone for a little bit. I think he's got a groin injury.
Yeah.
So he's gone for a little while now. So this is gonna be Madison's time to sort of, you know, get himself some reps. But Seattle just could not stop the run. And a funny sort of thing too that come out during the commentary of that game was offensive yards. Per game, Seattle are bottom. They are 32nd in the league at 477 yards of total offense put against them. They are dead last. Put against them. They are dead last. Like, that is just, that's unbelievable. In recent games in Seattle, this is their 10th game in a row in Seattle that they've had 25-plus points put on them.
Wow, interesting.
At home. It's crazy. Like I love stealing stats like that off NBC.
Oh, it's, but
Michaels. Well, that's the thing. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth do a really good job there. But I'm sure they've got stats guys and producers and stuff like that to give them those as well. So they're stealing off them, and I'm stealing off those two. So, but it was just
it's interesting because like you know we talk up and we're probably talking up there probably more their defensive line and their rushes. Their secondary is probably not as good as it played out to be. If they're getting 25 or so put on them, like seriously.
Well, Jamal Adams is out as well, so that would have hurt them this game. But to have that amount of offense being put on you and still being undefeated is crazy. That's almost a Kansas City type run from last year where it was like we're just going to outscore you. Like, you can score on us, but we're going to score more.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's how it went. And you're right. I think if there was a
crowd there at Century, CenturyLink?
CenturyLink, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's here, CenturyLink. If there was a crowd there, they would have been stunned at halftime. Like, they're one of the loudest crowds getting around, and I think they would have been very stunned at what was happening inside that first half. But, you know, to credit to Seattle, you know, they play penalty-free football, so they don't beat themselves, and it was just amazing to watch that comeback, that final drive by Wilson. He just takes their prisoners. This year, he's just a stone cold killer.
Yeah, yeah. He is gunning for that MVP ring. I swear he's gunning. Or no, it's not a ring. Yeah. Super Bowl ring, but MVP. MVP trophy. Yeah. The next game was, so the Cowboys did win. So, hooray. It was against the 0-5 Giants, so 37-34. And the Giants, they looked all right. They were cruising. They were in the lead, and they were in the lead in the fourth quarter, up until So Dak Prescott got injured, pretty bad. I mean, his ankle went the way an ankle's not supposed to go.
Just listening to the game. Oh, you know, it's not listening, but watching the game. It's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Obviously, Romo's the former Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and essentially who Dak Prescott unseated as the quarterback there at the Dallas Cowboys. And when the injury happened, you could hear Jim Nantz sort of say, "Oh, yeah, it looks like Prescott's down. We've had a bit of an injury here." And you hear Tony Romo go, "Oh my God, look at his ankle."
Yeah.
And then it was, "We're going to go to a commercial." Okay, that's not funny, but that was pretty much the instant reaction. And when they come back from commercial, I just thought it was a little bit funny that they decide to show the replay like three more times. So it's like, we kind of get it. His ankle's gone a bit floppy and facing the wrong way. Do we need to see three more replays, you know, of it on live TV? I'm not sure that was necessary.
So it ended up being a compound fracture, clearly a compound fracture.
And he was in tears.
And dislocation of the right ankle.
He was in tears.
Well, I don't know if it's from the pain or just from...
That was just him going, what has just happened? You see him on the medical cart, and everybody is coming up to him and giving him support and giving him love and everything. I think he just got a little bit overwhelmed by that. And you could just see that's obviously the season down the toilet for him, 6 to 8, which I thought was six to eight months, which is pretty crazy considering what's just happened to him. That's the injury time frame that they're looking at.
So the two biggest things of that, but was firstly, he has not missed a game since his rookie season. His 69 consecutive starts is the sixth longest streak for the start of a rookie season since the NFL-AFL merger. So that's one. And two, he still is yet to sign a new contract. So
that's...
He needs to get paid, but unfortunately for the kid, it's a little bit in Cowboys' favor now, unfortunately.
Kid. He's 27, but, you know, kid.
Ah, well, kid to us.
It does sort of swing that into a little bit in Jerry Jones's favor. He's not going to get the insane, you know, I think he'll still be duly compensated, and it may be along the lines of a 3-year contract and maybe not a 4 or 5 year contract. So I think he will still be duly compensated, on his actual worth now and not what. Not paying overs to keep him there at the Dallas Cowboys.
No, that's right.
And now Andy Dalton takes over. And boy, what an insurance policy that is.
Oh, big time.
Not to talk about New Orleans a lot, but I like to do that. That is what New Orleans did last year in signing Teddy Bridgewater. That is just the insurance policy of all insurance policies.
And also what they did this year, with Jameis Winston, if the worst happens. Oh, they got him cheap.
Teddy Bridgewater last year was the highest paid backup, so they paid their insurance for that, but. They've got Jameis Winston there on an extreme discount. But, to have Andy Dalton just there waiting in the wings, and I thought, I did laugh to myself a little bit the very first play that Andy Dalton had in a Dallas Cowboys uniform as he's come in for Prescott was a sack. Like, I couldn't help but laugh at that. I thought that was pretty funny.
He did essentially, win us a game.
Plays later, he throws a touchdown.
Yeah, and he also, he set both those field goals up to get Zerloin to kick both those field goals. So, obviously, essentially, he won the game for us. But injury aside, the Cowboys secondary still shouldn't have let, 34. And I shouldn't even keep blaming the secondary. They're rusher. They have great rushers. They shouldn't have 34 points put on by a team that. We were just saying not long ago that they only got 3 field goals in one game.
They had a combined 18 points. They had no touchdowns in 10 quarters of football. 10 quarters of football. And then they look like absolute world beaters against the Dallas Cowboys. It's unbelievable. Daniel Jones doesn't throw a touchdown, but doesn't throw an interception. But... he's still got a case of the butterfingers and has a lost fumble. So he's still got that. He's still got that in his game. Like you said, they didn't run, not so much run right, but it just, some of the plays that they're putting up, Darius Slayton was really good in that game. And Daniel Jones looked like an actual competent quarterback for a little while.
Yeah. And even picking up late Devontae Freeman, he had a great, because, again,
he looked pretty good.
Yeah, and he's still—he's not a terrible player. I understand. But
we'll go on to a little bit later on about another, running back who's essentially in that same mold as Devontae Freeman being unceremoniously let go. I don't understand how you can't find any compensation for somebody like that. It's unbelievable that Devontae Freeman gets cut at the start of the year. Todd Gurley gets cut. Le'Veon Bell gets cut. How?
So how I see it, Bart. I kept thinking about yes, we're talking about great running backs.
You can't get a fourth or a fifth rounder for him.
No, that's not the thing. So it's not that. It's the other way around.
It's monetary as well.
The teams don't want to pay the salary, so if they get released. That's right. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's not that they could get a fourth or a third or whatever. I just don't think the teams want to invest enough in these players to pay what they want to pay. So they'll get released and then they'll probably go out and get them. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, in the case of Le'Veon Bell, it's looking like that Kansas City Chiefs are going to pick him up, which is just unfair for the absolute league minimum because his money's already been paid to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why would the Chiefs give away like a fourth round or whatever to take $8 million when they could pick the guy up and I have to obviously wait, but they picked the guy up that's only $1 million now and not have to give up a draft pick. Cowboys. It's just a wait and see. I mean, I was always a big fan of him, and I have him in a lot of my fantasy leagues, but. To me, firmly, CeeDee Lamb is their WR2. He has already upserted Michael Gallup. He ran for 124 yards. He's also doing a lot of their kick, their punt returns too, which is interesting.
I have seen that. He's been slot in as as a punt kick and kick returner as well. So they're sort of getting him as much field time as possible. I think you know, Amari Cooper was probably a little bit absent in that game, only 4 targets and 2 receptions. So, but yeah, they were going to CeeDee Lamb a lot. So
yeah.
We'll have to sort of wait and see what sort of relationship him and Andy Dalton sort of strike up and how, you know, whether they sort of sink back into their shell a little bit, you know, a little bit more conservative attacking wise. And that could be very much to their detriment because they absolutely have to pile on the points.
They have no choice.
They've got no choice.
But that's why I think.
Just saying, like, you know, whether or not they can do the same thing with the red rifle there.
Well, see, if you go from where he was at the Bengals, he never had AJ Green. He didn't. He really only had Tyler Boyd to throw to. Now he's got an elite running back, which he sort of had at Mixon, I suppose, a little bit, but then he's got 3 great wide receivers to throw to. Surely.
That's right. But yeah, him and AJ Green had a really good relationship early on in their career. Like that, yeah, they were a really good one to hook up there in Cincinnati.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. Of course that. What I'm just saying lately.
Yeah. Prime AJ Green.
Yeah. I mean, Burrow's, you know. Yeah, Burrow's clearly a franchise player already. Like that's how good he looks. But.
Yeah, if we're gonna talk about that game just real quick, like Burrow got smashed. Smashed.
Not his like, fault, but his offensive line is terrible. You're right.
That would have been the best ice bath after that game ever because he just got absolutely pummeled. Just in the first half.
Yeah.
3 sacks and 10 hits.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that to a rookie. By the end of the game, he got hit 15 times and was sacked 7 times.
His like offensive line is terrible. But that's,
Baltimore just feasted on that offensive line of Cincinnati. It was unbelievable.
Oh, they just cannot protect him. It's absolutely ridiculous. So they can't keep doing it right. I mean, but that game was a bit of a runaway. It wasn't really – there wasn't much in it, but, you know.
No, well, that and the Kansas City Las Vegas game were the 2 3 a.m. kickoffs for us. Here, so I was much more interested in the Kansas City, Vegas game.
Well, we'll move to that one.
I'd flick back over and watch, Baltimore sort of, kick the living, out of Cincinnati and then flick it back over. So I was more interested in the Kansas City Vegas game.
Well, let's move to that one because Kansas City were at home when they lost too. When they lost. So, I had always liked Derek Carr. I really think having Mariota there has really helped him so far this season.
Well, yeah, I think that's making him look over his shoulder a little bit and go, boy, I better perform because we've seen it before, where those types of guys and they get. But just look at Jimmy G.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He got dumped. He got dumped this week.
You know
what I mean? Like it can happen to anybody. He's a Super Bowl starting quarterback from last year.
That's right. But he's
Vegas went punch for punch.
Yeah.
With Kansas City, and you just don't see that very often.
Nah.
You know when it comes to Kansas City, like they can punch you in the mouth, and if you don't punch back. You're in big trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think, clearly that's why, we're probably skipping ahead, but looks like you just said before that Le'Veon Bell will sign with the Chiefs. I don't know, he had that hype coming in. I don't know if Edwards-Helaire's quite there yet. He only got 10 carries for 40 yards. Not that Mahomes is more of a throwing weapon, obviously, than looking for his runner, like, case in point, Travis Kelce getting 108 yards for a touchdown.
I had to wait until the last quarter to get my anytime touchdown multi going with Travis Kelce. That's just like, I was just sitting there. I think that was another reason why I was a little bit interested in that game as well. But
of course you were.
My God. Had to wait until 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I was sweating hard.
Of course you were. Yeah. Classic better. Of course you were. Derek Carr, he threw 22 out of how much did you get?
I think it was for a 4 anytime touchdown players, and it was like a $12 multi.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like 60. It was like a $5 bet, $60. It was decent.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
That's why I had to wait for Keenan. I had to wait for Tuesday and Keenan Allen. And he put me out of my misery right at the start of the game. That's terrific.
Derek Carr was pretty consistent as well. So 22 of 31 attempts, 347 yards. He did get an interception, but he also threw three touchdowns.
That's
so,
his first interception of the year, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3-2, so it's probably nothing, you know, we don't have to go overly hype on the Raiders, but they're not too bad. They, you know, they've got the young Josh Jacobs. He got another couple of touchdowns. Henry Ruggs got his first touchdown in that game.
Oh, man, he had two massive plays, a 46-yard reception and a 72-yard reception. They were incredible in that first half. They were just, it was crazy.
You got to see his speed. His speed is unbelievable.
Nah, that's right.
That's absolutely. And, you know, and Darren Waller, like, you know, they've got a great tight end. So they're not.
Is he like 6'8" or something? He towers over everybody. Yeah. He's massive.
He is a huge guy. So let me have a look.
He's a massive human.
6'6". 6'6", pushing 6'7", it says here. So, yeah, I suppose that's a tight end sort of height if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, but that's usually not that big. Like,
what's Kelsey? Kelsey is
going to be 6'2", wouldn't he, maybe?
6'5".
Oh, wow.
So, there you go. Round three, he was picked up by Kansas City. Wow.
That's a good little pickup there.
But yeah, great win by Raiders. They looked very competent in that game. I wanted to skip back, but to the Dolphins, just a night. Like, I don't like saying it, but goddamn, Fitzmagic was great in that game. Jesus Christ,
you love it.
I don't love it.
Love it. Fitzmagic was on point.
22 out of 28, 350 yards, no interceptions, three touchdowns with a 99 quarterback rating. Like, come on. He shouldn't be doing that.
He did that a few weeks ago on the Thursday night game where he had three incompletions in the first half. This was I can't think of who it was against. I think it might have been against the Jets. And he went perfect in the second half. He went like a perfect 9 for 9 in the second half. Like, it's just he's been great. Just watching, just sort of back and forth, and they were talking about scores and stuff. I think it was during the Cleveland-Indiana game. I think that was on 7-8, and they were sort of circling back and giving you score updates. That's an embarrassing performance by San Francisco. That's embarrassing.
What did you think of CJ in there? He wasn't that great, obviously.
No, I don't understand the benching of Garoppolo, unless you're sort of just trying to save him. You know, he's not getting it going. He was 7 for 17, two interceptions. You know, CJ Beth come in and he was 9 for 18, didn't throw for 100 yards, but throws for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. It's just fun. I think it's just, and that's not great for Jimmy G's confidence, and hopefully he can just sort of shake that off. I don't think that they will bench him going forward. I can only assume that this week they will have, you know, Jimmy G will be the starting quarterback for San Francisco forward. I think it was just a might have just been a horses for courses type thing. They could just see he's not getting going, so let's just sit him down. Let's just throw CJ Beathard to the proverbial wolves of the Miami Dolphins.
Defense.
That's such a hard thing to say. Like,
their defense was great. They ended up getting a total of five sacks. They were dead at five sacks. Oh my god, they were great. But I honestly think then they looked. It might have got them there this year. Their defense. They are, you know, missing a massive guy in Bosa, but they don't have anybody to throw it to. I'm sorry, except for George Kittle at a pinch. They just don't have anybody to throw to.
Debo Samuel's not back yet. They've got a bunch of
Emmanuel Sanders now. They need a elite
bunch
quarterback.
Of number twos and number threes there. They don't really have that. If they need to get the running game going, like a real, you know, I always like to call it a thumper. You know, just like a Mark Ingram or a Latavius Murray or a Derrick Henry or somebody like that that would just go up there and just brutalize the line. They don't have that. You know, Raheem Mostert's not That's not what he is. Even with Tevin Coleman, like Tevin Coleman's not there. Sorry, I do lie. Debo Samuel did play this game, but he just
He got 2 out of 9.
Just going back through the box score like that. I must have obviously missed that one. 8 targets.
Yeah.
2 receptions.
Yeah.
Like that's this must be his first game for the year. Probably should have researched that a little bit more. Well done for preparation. but you know what I mean? Like that, yeah, to me, they just don't have that real heavy hitter if they need to get the run game going. Like that's unfortunate for San Francisco at the moment. Just a little thing that was dredged up on a Miami based radio show the next day that I listen to a lot. Since the year 2000, so since the turn of the century, the Miami Dolphins have only had 4 40-point games in 20 years.
Wow.
So even the New York Jets, who are just an absolute tire fire at the moment, have had 12 since the turn of the century. The Miami Dolphins have had 4 40-point games prior to this. And wow. They just hang 43 on San Francisco. Like, that's just...
Yeah. Wow. That's I mean they played from like Fitzmagic was absolutely phenomenal that game. I'm not buying into that hype. I'm sorry, I'm not buying into that hype.
Look, while he's there and while he's playing he's the mentor now for
that's
Tua.
Right. Yeah, he's still playing great, so I'm not saying that, but I don't know. I'm not pointing into his eye, but I just can't. I don't know.
You're gonna have to.
The only other one I wanted to talk about.
He's gonna make a believer out of you by the end of the season.
Yeah, we'll see. The only other game I wanted to talk about.
Starting at the end of the season.
the only other game I wanted to talk about was that first game, the Bears beating the Buckies 20-19. The Bears are surprising a lot of people. They really are.
Why are they 4-1 start? Because I don't.
You don't buy it yet.
I don't buy it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Le'Veon Bell, that would have been the perfect signing for Chicago.
Three spots that I had written down, which I thought Le'Veon Bell could have really. Being used well was Chicago, Miami, and San Francisco.
Yeah.
Maybe Kansas City. But that's, I mean, they've got Edwards-Helaire there. So they didn't really need to have him, and now they have
him. No, well, that's exactly right. Brady just seemed, I mean, we talked about that third, fourth down. He looked very, very angry in that game.
There was a couple of times where they zoomed in on him after a couple of really, really poor offensive sets. And he is just lighting people up on the sideline. He wasn't yelling and screaming at people, actually in people's faces. He was just very vocal and very upset with just the whole, I don't know, just anybody in his vicinity. Like, that's what I mean. He wasn't yelling and screaming in people's faces, but man, he was pissed a couple of times that where he'd come off, and he was a little bit disappointed, I guess, in the way that they played up until that point.
I just think he clearly thinks there's more pressure on him than there probably needs to be, because he, you know, they're 3-2, so it's not overly. Well, it's only week 5, so it's not that bad, really.
No, but the funny thing is that the three teams that are on top of the NFC South at the moment, and they're all on 3-2.
Yeah, that's right.
And fortunately, the Falcons, who are on 0-5.
Yeah, well, I thought that was the first coach going to go, but he's gone now, Dan Quinn, and the GM. So
that's right. The only reason I don't buy Chicago at this point in time is just who their wins are against. The Lions, who aren't terrific, but you know, they're I guess they're a sort of comparable team. The Giants. Need I say anything more?
Yeah.
The Falcons. I say anything more?
Yeah.
And they lost to the Colts. Yeah, this is probably their best win of the season.
Yeah.
And it took a Brady brain fart.
Yeah, that's a little bit fair, I suppose. It's hard. Oh, I mean, it's still they still have to win the games. I know what you mean.
No, that's right. They still have to win them. But you just
yeah.
All you do is just look at their opponents. Like coming up, this is going to be their next test. Okay, have a listen to this for their next few games. At Carolina, at LA Rams, then they have a home game against the Saints. Then they go to Tennessee. Then they have a home game against the Vikings. Then they go to Green Bay before they actually get, another sort of softer opponent in back to the Lions again. So they've got a 6-week period now that is going to be super hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's fair. Well, just to see how they'll actually go. Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, this is their best win of the season. Chicago would have been perfect for Le'Veon Bell, I think. They have just got zero run game, the Chicago Bears at the moment. Ty Montgomery just looks like he's just totally out of form. Just whether it's the offensive line isn't giving him enough space to sort of get these runs to sort of gain any momentum for him. It's just their run game for Chicago is just terrible.
And they lost Tariq Coleman to an ACL, so he's gone for the year. So I just
But let's say once again, Cohen is not a thumper. He's a short guy that's going to be take on the gaps and use and run around people. Like he's not that the super hard worker, get the hard yards up the middle type running back. So I think they would have very much benefited from, and I'm sure they were trying to get, at least have a look at Le'Veon Bell, but not to be, I guess.
They still got weapons in the throwing. Allen Robinson had a pretty decent game again. 10 out of 16 for 90 yards. I think on the other side, I still think Brady thinks he's at Patriots. He just seems to, you've got Mike Evans there. Okay, you sort of got Gronk there. He has two elite wide receivers there that just don't. It's probably hard because we're probably comparing it to Jameis Winston and the amount of yards they got, but they could use them a lot more, big time, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And look, Chris Godwin not being there, I think that's what everybody was sort of frothing about at the start of the season with Brady, Gronk. And, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans being, that sort of 1-2 wide receiver punch, both had 1,000-yard seasons last year. I think that's what everyone was sort of foaming at the lips a little bit, in this offense. And a 3-2, it's an average start to the season.
Yeah.
I think for the lofty expectations of what they have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think so.
Losing OJ Howard last week, basically for the season, has sort of knocked them down a peg with the tight end situation they've got. But they still got Cameron Brate and Rob Gronkowski. Still got two really good pass catching tight ends. And Gronkowski is a willing blocker. So
yeah, no, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that he should be having a little bit better protection than what he's getting.
So there were the games I wanted to touch on. Was there any other one you wanted to just before we
look? I think just a couple more. I think Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. That was a really good game. For Philadelphia to be in that game as long as they were, with basically the band of misfit mascots at wide receiver there. They've just got literally no wide receivers there at Philly at the moment. Not using Zach Ertz pretty much at all, which is just brutal for my fantasy team. But you know what I mean? There's been years gone past me. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before. Like, he was their leading pass catcher. What's changed? What has changed?
He got his touchdown. Well, it was all three of them. I remember that whole, it was a tight end. Yeah, it was him, George Kittle, and who am I missing?
Travis Kelce.
You know, they all three of them just got bulk touchdowns.
It was
and
ridiculous.
Thought,
and then all of a sudden, it's just he's like just he's fallen off the face of the planet. Yeah. He had one reception for 6 yards.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Six targets.
Agree.
Like, it just, yeah. It's...
I've got him in a couple of leagues, but it's hard, like, to let go. Like, because you think if you let go of him.
As soon as you do, he's going to lie. And they don't have Dallas Goedert there at the moment because he's hurt.
He's
your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got Greg Ward, you know, Miles Sanders is catching passes out of the backfield. You know, Travis Fulgham, if that's how you say it. Like 10 receptions for 152 yards. Who in the blue hell is Travis Fulgham? What is that?
That's so good. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And for them to be in the game as long as they were, and you know, essentially that was the Big Ben Chase Claypool 1-2 hit.
Yeah.
Like that was crazy. Like
Chase Claypool was
he was unbelievable. He's the fourth wide receiver rookie in NFL history to score three plus touchdowns in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, three receiving and one rush. Like just unbelievable. He was just it was in everything.
We'll move on, I guess, to our studs and duds of the week.
If you sort of want to go through what happened with Atlanta, turfing. Look, I know. I think it's still worth talking about a little bit. They've dumped the coach and
the GM.
The general manager.
Yeah, I suppose.
And
yeah, look.
Unfortunately, you know, like we said a couple of weeks ago, with the Bill O'Brien firing, it's too late. Not so much. It's too late for this team. It's the first time they've been 0-5 since like 1997. We've said it a little bit this year. We pretty much said it all last year. The soul of this team was taken by Tom Brady and the Patriots, a la Shang Tsung. Like they've had their soul taken since they gagged away that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. They've had back-to-back 7-9 seasons. And this firing nearly happened last year, just sort of doing a little bit of a dig into it. Last year, they started 0-7, and they were just lucky that they finished the end of the year at 6-2. Yeah. Otherwise, Dan Quinn would have been gone last year.
Yeah. No, I still think there's a place for him in some team. Because he's got a great defensive.
Go back to being an offensive coordinator. He was a defensive GM. It's the Dimitrov firing as the GM as well to let them both go. You know, now you've got to go out and fill two positions, and the owner has come out and basically said he's not sold on Matt Ryan.
Look, it's not a bad thing to say when you're 0-5. You know, there's a couple of, and I'm not just talking about Trevor Lawrence, there's a couple of great quarterbacks in this next draft, so it's probably just to light Matt Ryan up, but it's not a terrible thing to say, really.
No, and like you said, that could just be let's put a little bit of a rocket, up Matt Ryan and see if he responds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I still think Dan Quinn, he was a defensive coordinator for the Seahawks. He was the one that got them to that Super Bowl, their first Super Bowl win for the Seahawks. Maybe firing the GM and maybe firing the coach is just, but that's a team that really, out of every team that I think I've talked about, they don't really dip anywhere. They don't dip in the market. The only thing personally that's Todd Gurley that I can track my mind back to. They don't dip in the market. You don't hear about their draft picks. You know, they've had
no,
that
because
same.
No, because it's at 7-9, you're a middle of the pack draft team. So you're not. Yeah, you might be able to find a few steals, and boy, they absolutely got one a few years ago on Calvin Ridley. But you know what I mean? They don't get the glamour free agents or anything like that. You know, a lot of their stuff is through draft and trade and things like that. So, they're one of those teams where just recently it's another team that's in that mid table purgatory. You know, back to back 7-9 seasons, like that's not getting you a super high draft pick, but that's not putting you right at the back of the first round as well, and you still should be able to pick up some quality, but they've got to get better protection for Matt Ryan. I think that's where it starts. Defensively last year they were just an absolute mess, but they need to, if they've got two unbelievable receivers, you know, in Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, they need to give Matt Ryan as much time as humanly possible to be able to find those guys and him not being punished.
Yeah.
If you get your offense rolling, you know, you've got Todd Gurley there now at the moment. So if you can use him in creative ways, then you can spark a little bit of offense.
So who did you have for your start of the week?
Look, there could have been a few that could have gone around. I think Claypool was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I'm going to go my hometown boy, Marshon Lattimore. In the final ticks of that game with New Orleans and the Chargers, the stop, the tackle on Mike Williams, half a yard short on fourth. I think they were fourth and 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike Williams essentially got 9.5 yards, and Marshon Lattimore just stuffed him.
Yeah,
and he's probably got a good 30 pounds and 6 inches on Marshon Lattimore. And as soon as he caught the ball and he hit him, that was it. It stopped him straight away. It was an unbelievable tackle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, to say it was just on one tackle, but that's the game clincher. That saved the game. New Orleans could only muster up a field goal in overtime.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
For him to be able to do that to Mike Williams, who was just burning everybody in the Saints' backfield,
yeah,
for him to come up with that, and it was funny too. Demario Davis come over the top from the opposite direction and nearly forced Mike Williams into that half a yard to get the first down.
Essentially,
it was crazy.
Well, essentially, it won them the game, or at least got them in the point where they can they drew. Yeah, so essentially, they did. It won them
that,
the game.
That killed the game for the Chargers. That was right. It was fourth and 10.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, that's pretty good. I really couldn't go past how unblemished Ryan Fitzpatrick looked. You know,
he looked
good. He's not my boy. Fuck that. He 350 yards. He only threw it was near perfect, 22 out of 28. You know, to get 350 yards in only 28 attempts.
That's right.
That's pretty good. I'll give it to him this time. I have to give it to him. It's hard not to.
He's got to get one. That was a very jaw-dropping performance by the Dolphins this previous week.
100%.
That was insane.
He's a Harvard boy too. I looked it up.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, he's a Harvard graduate.
Yeah, he's only drafted in the 7th round, so by the St. Louis Rams.
And he's played for like friggin' 16 teams or something.
Yeah, half the league. No, Dan, he's played for half the league.
I think it's like he's thrown touchdowns as a starter for like 7 different teams, and I'm pretty sure he started for 3 of the 4 AFC East teams.
Wow.
Obviously, except for the Patriots, but I'm pretty sure that he's been on the Bills, he's been on the Jets, and now he's at the Dolphins. that's your combat if you're the AFC East teams to Tom Brady. We're just gonna filter through Ryan Fitzpatrick, all 3 other teams, and try and beat Tom Brady. Like, that's just not the right way to go about it.
That's awesome. Yeah. what'd you have for your dud of the week?
I could have gone a couple of ways here. Like, I nearly gave it to Michael Thomas for the little incident that he had at training this week when he's on the verge of coming back, and New Orleans absolutely needed this game on Monday Night Football, and for him to sort of have a little bit of a blow up at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just because of the way he didn't like the way he was being covered in practice. And it's just it's practice. And we know that you're Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you some curry. And, you know, he absolutely didn't like that and, you know, sort of threw a punch. So, you know, Sean Payton basically just said, yeah, no egos here. We're going to sit you down for this week. And hope, you know, it didn't come back to bite him. But I nearly gave it to Michael Thomas. If hopefully, the Saints had have lost, I probably would have. But
hopefully he doesn't get disgruntled and then he wants to leave too. I don't think so.
Yeah. And that's just absolutely laughable to me. I just don't see that happening at all. But for me, dud of the week, and I think it's pretty glaringly obvious that it's Tom Brady. He was my stud of the week last week, but you can't do that. You can't lose what down it is when you're on a game-winning drive inside the last 2 minutes of a game against Chicago.
And especially with your coach saying, oh, no, he knew. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Surely there would have been something said in his headset. Oh, did you know what I mean? Like, it's bewildering. How, and it's said, so he said at the top of the pod, he sold me that he was genuinely surprised that his look on his face is like, wow, it's fourth down.
He's a good liar.
Well, no, it can't be fourth down. So yeah, and yeah, Bruce Arians basically throws him under the bus.
He's a good liar. That's what I mean.
Oh, it's fantastic. That's what I mean. He had me sold.
Well, you can, by his face look, he did. So, yeah. Well, he's been in plenty of movies with all his movie star friends. So maybe he's a good actor.
Are they his friends or are they Giselle's friends?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I think they're all Patriot fans, like Affleck and all that. So that's just their Patriot fans.
They'd absolutely love him.
Oh, they all love him. Mine, I nearly gave it to, having more buys again this week. It's not their fault, but, I nearly gave it to the Patriots, sheerly just on, breaking COVID. Well, they break COVID rules, but, having more COVID cases.
Man, Rona is rife at the moment. But Indianapolis had a heap of false positives. You know, it's back in New England again. Atlanta shut down their facility. This is not good. This is not good.
I don't want to say. I think the season. Who knows what the season is going to happen?
The NFL is just. They're just going to bulldoze through this season no matter what. Like unless 25 or 30 people on a team get it, they're just going to bulldoze through. Like they're not going to stop. They're chopping and changing. They're moving games around. The test is going to be when a team has a second outbreak, a la, someone like Tennessee or somebody like that. Tennessee ended up having 20-odd cases, but by the end of it, now everything's fine. But because they shunted their game to this week, it'll just be if the same same team gets it twice and then they've got no room to just go, oh, we'll just give them the bye. Do you know what I mean? And we'll figure it out next week. There's been a lot of shuffling of games over the next couple of weeks that weren't meant to be played in those weeks. So it'll be interesting to see how the NFL deals with a team if they get it again.
If they get it again, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It's hard to, I know what you mean. It's hard to, well, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But I couldn't not give it to the Philadelphia Eagles. What would I call it? Probably the Philadelphia Eagles football team board. Why give someone $32 million a year that plays absolutely terrible? Carson Wentz got sacked 5 times. Through 2 interceptions. Yeah, he might have got 2 touchdowns, but all he could muster up was 258 yards.
He's playing hero ball. They've got the band of misfit mascots as wide receiver there, but he's just got nothing to throw to.
At least I don't like what the money they gave to sort of Jared Goff, LA Rams, but at least he's got them to a quarterback, to a Super Bowl, and at least they're playing not too bad this year. But Carson Wentz, he had that.
He's proved he can't stay healthy.
That's right.
And with the amount of punishment that he's taken this year, can he get through the season?
I don't think so. I don't. I just. it's not that he's a bust. Like they were talking, and he had that MVP run.
A couple of years. It was the same thing with Derek Carr. Derek Carr had a borderline MVP season, gets hurt 2 weeks before the playoffs. And yeah, there people were talking about the then Oakland Raiders. This might have been two years ago, maybe three years ago, where Derek Carr hasn't bounced back from that. This year he's playing well, but the last 2 years that Carr's had hasn't been great. And Carson Wentz is not so much in that mold, but he's just with what they've got there offensively, and that's, I mean, their offensive line is in disarray.
Oh, big time.
It's just, to me, it's just, we've been saying it all year. It's just, he's trying to play hero ball. It's not working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not working. I, you know, it's not like he doesn't have people to throw to. You know, I know you just pulled
he's
out a name.
He's got Zach Ertz.
He's got Zach Ertz. He's got his, they still got Agnabor. He went to 49ers.
Agalor's at Las Vegas.
Ah, Las Vegas. That's right.
They still have Alshon Jeffrey there, but he's hurt. Alshon Jeffrey's still there. Last week, but he's hurt. And, I think
and Zach Ertz, like you just said.
He's hurt again. Just throw to Zach Ertz 18 times. It's not that hard.
Yeah, no, it's not. But,
Drew Brees does it with Michael Thomas.
Look what Kyler Murray does that to DeAndre Hopkins. Well, Deshaun Watson did that to DeAndre Hopkins. So, yeah, exactly. Of course.
Just throw to Zach Ertz 18 times. That'll make me very, very, very happy.
Patrick Mahomes does it to Travis Kelce, so it's not like it's out of the realms of impossibility.
They've got to do something.
They have to stick with him. You know, they've put all this money into him. I think he was a bit too overhyped and then got paid got paid too much. Personally, I think he got paid way too much. So that was my dud of the week.
That's very much within the realms. Not to say I don't agree with them not paying him, because obviously there would have been teams out there that were going to pay that sort of money for him. But I guess he wants to sort of prove, you know, to the team and you know, his coach Doug Peterson and guys like that he's, you know, he's the guy that essentially got them the record that led them to that Super Bowl. You know, obviously Nick Foles carried them through the playoffs. But yeah, you know, he was the guy, like you said, you know, he had that borderline MVP season and he had stress fractures in his back, and you know, he's just when you start having those, like, they're really hard to sort of to come back from and heal up properly. I think Matt Stafford is going through the same thing. I think he did the same thing last year. He had a back injury. I think it was stress fractures in the back, and that's not good. That's not good for and especially if you're just getting pummeled
not for a quarterback.
What he's doing. That's bad news.
Yeah, not for a quarterback. No, definitely not.
Well, it's a quarterback protected league, so
yeah, 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 like, no, they don't have to get.
Yeah, you see some of the BS roughing the passer calls and stuff. That's like, oh, for God's sakes! Like,
I love how
you don't
all
even
these...
let it breathe on him. If you got bad breath and you breathe on him,
that's
a roughing the passer.
I can't believe that. Like, that's one thing I don't like. These wide receivers can get pummeled in the secondary.
Oh my God.
Everybody can get pummeled.
Have a look at what running backs go through. They get hit from six different directions.
But, like, I think there was...
You brush past a quarterback's shoulder or arm or something like that, or roughing the passer. Give me a break.
I think... I can't remember who... It wasn't even that bad, and they didn't fall down or anything, but it's one of the games, and then, one of the players just pushed him out because, you know, just to get him out of bounds. And they called it roughing the passer. All they did was push him out of bounds. He fell down.
But once you're out of the pocket, then you're at the mercy of the defense.
That's right. That's exactly right. But they can run and do what they want. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's overboard. That's what it is. Like, it's just if you're being hit in vulnerable positions, okay, fair enough. But if all it is you're getting hit front on, and then somebody lands on top of you, because what in the hell else are you supposed to do? A la what happened to Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago. He got hit right straight in front. Like, he seen the defender coming, got landed on, broke his collarbone. That was it. That was his season done. That's just like, oh, that's it. You're not even allowed to land on them after tackling. What the hell are you supposed to do?
Yeah, good point.
What are you meant to do?
Yeah.
It's football.
Especially
you
then
get
like.
Tackled.
Well, that's right. It'd be hard for someone like I guess anyone on those defensive line. Like, I guess say if we talk
you
about Aaron Donald,
do it.
Well, it's for, like talk about Aaron Donald, like that just wants to get as many sacks as possible. But then you have to then basically pull yourself up if they've let the ball go. Like it's kind
of,
right.
And then you run the risk of giving away 15 yards and a fresh set of downs. Like it's just,
ridiculous.
Not to say that it's not fair. It's just life's not fair. When they say, oh, you can't land on them. What in the hell are you meant to do if you hit somebody flush, straight head on? How are you meant to avoid landing on top of them?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, well, that'll do it this week for the NFL pod. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod. At Final Play Podcast. I'm going terrible this one. And Facebook is searching Final Play Podcast. You'll be able to find us as well on Spotify, which is again just typing in Final Play Podcast and.
Scroll, you know, if you're looking for a scroll a lot of the way down.
Unless obviously you like us, then you'll get it each and every time. You just have to like the one and you'll get it each
Like us on Facebook. We go through the SoundCloud platform, but when the pods go up, we put the Spotify link underneath that. So all you have to do is just click on the link. It takes you straight there. And then all you have to do is just click on our little emblem. And that'll take you to all of our content on there, and then just like, follow, share, you know, unlike, unfollow, unshare, then like, follow, share again. So, you know, we'd
and also don't forget Gimco. So gimco.com.au.
Yeah. Always appreciative of what Gimco does for us. Yep. So, they're on their platform is really good. And also check out. That's when you check out their card breaks and stuff like that as well. They cater for everybody, NBA, NFL, baseball, NRL, AFL.
They have
Mojo King actually works for Select, card distributing in Australia. So, get onto those if you're into trading cards. They cater to all of the cult that is card trading.
And it's a cult. I believe it's a massive cut.
You're damn right it is.
All right. Have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Derek Henry is a massive – just Derek the Tank. My God, that hit was – I still can't get that out of my mind. It's so big.
Yeah, what a weapon. Anyway, I'm Miles, part of the cult Plum. And we'll talk to you, time. We got more stuff coming up, NBA, NRL finals coming up. So, and very, very much approaching Pod 100. So look out.
Yeah. All right. See ya.
See ya.